Growing up, my mother frequently liked to change the house around. And when that happened, there were other projects that came along with it. So the living room would become the dining room, and the dining room would become the living room, and this type of thing. In the current house she has three main rooms there when you enter the house, and they frequently have been moved around and things. Psychologists often say that when we grow up, we marry someone who is like our parent. Something about like an unconscious or on an unconscious level that there's something that draws us toward the familiar. So it shouldn't be a big surprise, I guess, in my own life that my wife also likes to change things around the house and come up with various projects of things that we need to do. But I've never been a very handy person, whether automotively or around the house. That's not something that's came naturally to me. It's not in my comfort zone. It's not that I'm totally inept at doing it. We've done a number of projects over the years, but they generally, the unknown of the project makes me uncomfortable. I feel rather overwhelmed sometimes at how to begin the project, what we need, what are we going to do, and how's it going to go. And it's a lot of times the lack of knowledge that makes me feel uncomfortable and frankly not want to do them at all. A few weeks ago, during this quarantine time, I again was overwhelmed at a big project that my wife wanted us to take on and wanted done. It required skills I didn't have. It required us to even construct some things to make the project successful that I didn't know how to do. But I made a decision that I was going to dedicate myself during this quarantine time to becoming more handy. So if I'm going to do this project, well, not if, I'm going to do this project, so what do I need to do first? Well, first, I had to get myself a new tool belt, right? No, I'm just kidding. I didn't really do that. First, what I needed was the knowledge of how to do the project and be successful. Now, thankfully, one of the things that's really cool is that we live in the day and age of YouTube. The Bible talks about at the time of the end that knowledge shall be increased. It'll be in great abundance. And has this ever been more true for someone like myself looking to increase his handyman knowledge than being able to go out and watch any number of instructional videos, probably with the exact make and model of the project that you're doing, and be able to learn and watch and be successful in that? So that's what I did. I began going out, and I began watching a whole bunch of various YouTube videos on various projects that I would be doing in the last few weeks and the coming weeks that I needed that knowledge to be successful. But knowledge alone wasn't enough. Gaining that knowledge, the projects didn't all of a sudden get done themselves. The saw didn't spring to life and begin marking and cutting the boards for me. You know, like something out of the Beauty and the Beast, where the everything comes alive. Nail those boards, saw those wood. It didn't happen. I didn't get to just stand back and watch all that happen. I had to take that knowledge and I had to begin to do something with it. I felt more capable to do that because I had the right knowledge, but I had to now take that knowledge and I needed to begin doing. Otherwise, frankly, that knowledge would be useless, right? I mean, I might be able to teach somebody else how to do it, but I myself would have accomplished nothing. Similarly, for true Christians, for first fruits of God, knowledge of God's word, his ways, while that's amazing, it's not enough. Knowledge alone is not enough. Today we will look at the importance of applying biblical knowledge. The importance of applying biblical knowledge. Now my family and I each morning are going through a chronological study of the Gospels, and one thing we've been constantly pointing out to the children time and time again as we move through those Gospels is how Jesus Christ treated people who were struggling, who were sinners, who were willing to be teachable, willing to try to overcome and change, versus those that had lots of knowledge, those that thought they had it all figured out. One of those places where Jesus Christ is actually instructing his disciples is in Matthew 23:2. I'm just going to read 2 and 3 there, kind of breaking into this. It says, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. Jesus Christ taught his disciples to follow the instructions, but not to follow their ways. For they knew much about God's law, his word. They could teach, but they didn't put it into action. And I think that's a great challenge facing all of us desiring to be first fruits. Knowledge is critically important. We won't turn there, but in Hosea, the prophet recorded in Hosea 4:6, he said, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." They're supposed to know. They had rejected God's knowledge, godly knowledge, and forgotten God's laws. Yes, knowledge is critically important, but knowledge alone is not enough. Knowledge without application gets us nowhere. In fact, knowledge alone without application can actually do us harm. I saw a graphic recently online with a quote from Andy Stanley that said, "Knowledge alone makes Christians haughty. Application makes us holy." Now, I would say God makes us holy by placing his Holy Spirit within us and making us and setting us aside as his special people, but I like the principle of what he was getting at, that knowledge alone makes us haughty, but it's the application of knowledge that we use to become like God in Jesus Christ. The Bible says this too. Again, just a short scripture, so I won't have us turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 1, Paul says, "We know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." Love in action is the application, is the ultimate application of God's law. This is what happened to the religious leaders of Christ's day. They were puffed up with all that they thought they knew, and Jesus criticized them. Another place where we break into that is in John 9, verse 41. And again, it's just a short snippet that I'm trying to just show here. So he says to him, Christ does, "If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty. But you remain guilty because you claim to see." They thought they knew it, but their lives didn't reflect the fruit and the application of that knowledge. Let's now look at how we, as first fruits of God, are expected to take that critical knowledge we have been blessed with and apply it. Let's turn to James 1 and verse 21. James 1, verse 21 in the back of the Bible. We'll read 21 through 27. It says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." It's implanted word. It's word that has been implanted into the fabric of our lives. It's now a part of us, and we know it. But it isn't from ourselves, so we receive that with meekness, with humility. And it says, which is able to save. This word for able is a Greek word that has an uncertainty to it. It's not a guarantee to save your life, but it has the capacity, it has the capability to do that. It's there. So what must we do? Notice verse 22. It says, "But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Doers, a word that means to perform it, to produce it, to make it, to put it into God's word into action in our lives. And verse 23, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror, for when he observes himself," and this word means not a quick glance at ourselves, this means to really give one's attention, to examine, to focus, to consider, "he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." At home in the office that I've set up to do my work on a day-in, day-out basis, I set up a desk and I have my two monitors, and right behind the monitor is a mirror that was already hanging on the wall when I set up there. And sometimes I find myself, when I'm on like a work call and I've got my headset on and stuff, I find myself kind of staring into the mirror, and I start looking and I'm like, "Oh, you know, that red dot doesn't look too good on your head," or, you know, "you got dry skin there," and you know, I'm taking a look. But most often what I think when I'm looking into that mirror is, "Wow, I really need to shave. I'm looking pretty rough." And so I then get distracted by work, though, and I immediately forget to go shave, and so my appearance doesn't change at all. And I just go on about my day. But while my scruffy face might certainly cause some separation in my marriage, it's not causing any separation between me and God. But James says, if we are hearers of the word only and don't put that knowledge into action and apply it in the ins and outs of our lives, it's really like us examining ourselves in that mirror and then forgetting what adjustments we need to make. And we go on with our same present everyday course. We don't want to do that as Christians. Verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. We can even convince ourselves that we're doing just fine, but then we're going around, we're saying, you know, careless things, hurtful things, we have actions that aren't right, we hurt people, but we've got knowledge. Our religion, it says here, is useless. A Greek word to mean vain or empty. It's hollow. It's a facade. Verse 27 says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Pure religion is knowledge put into loving action and service, especially for the most vulnerable. Isn't this what we find in Jesus Christ's teachings over and over to true Christians, to first fruits, that knowledge alone is not enough? Parables, we go through just tons of them. You got parables of the sheep and the goats, the good Samaritan, the unfruitful fig tree, the unforgiving debtor, any number of them. So many more, we see that the knowledge alone wasn't enough. Knowledge is extremely important. It's worth dedicating ourselves to, but we must go beyond filling our heads with just crucial data and knowledge. It has to be applied. It has to flow out and impact how we live our everyday lives, how we interact with all other people, the words we use and how we use them and how we serve and who we serve and our motives and our and just continue down the path. Jesus Christ judged between the sheep and goats based on their actions. He judged the Levite, the priest, and the Good Samaritan based on their actions. He judged the unfruitful fig tree based on what it was producing in it and or not in that case. And, you know, unforgiving debtors, again, actions. People can be destroyed for a lack of knowledge, but I don't think that's our biggest test as first fruits. I think our biggest test as first fruits is the application of the truth of God that we've been so blessed to receive and putting that into action. We can and should pursue knowledge and understanding. God wants us to then apply this knowledge and transform our lives, our words, our actions. So let's, as we bring this to a close, let's consider these scriptures. In John 13:17, it simply says, Christ said, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. 2 Timothy 3:16, Paul said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And lastly, Romans 2:13, for not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. The doers. Tomorrow is ABC graduation, and I greatly applaud those students for understanding the value of God's word, for making the personal sacrifices, and for working extremely hard to lay the tremendous foundation of the knowledge and understanding of God's word. I think now, though, comes the even harder part. The work isn't over, it's just beginning. And isn't that true for all of us? Whatever knowledge we have been blessed by God to have of his great truth, that's only the beginning. Just like my new handyman knowledge, it was only the beginning, and really the real work came right after that. We all have to then apply the knowledge that we have and work diligently to good works. Brethren, let's remember that knowledge alone is not enough. Knowledge alone can even puff up and hurt us. Let's not just be biblical students, which we all are, but let's take that knowledge, examine our lives, our motives, our thoughts, our words, our actions, and our service with no excuses and no justification, and let us apply that amazing knowledge into action each and every day of our lives as we strive moment by moment to grow into the very image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.